I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day when I saw thee.
Please drive slow, for this body you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky.
I will follow close behind her, try to hold up and be brave. But I could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in her grave.
Will a circle be unbroken by
lonesome, miss my mother, she was gone. All my brothers, sisters crying, what a home so sad and lone.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home away.
Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into yet another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler, and that, of course, is the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with their famous tune, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? You heard it last week here on Express Yourself, but John McEwen of the Dirt Band brings his commemorative show of that signature recording to the Ute Theater tomorrow evening at 8 p.m., The show features music from the album and video footage of the recording sessions. And I just received word today that John's son Nathan, also a touring musician, will join his dad on stage at the show in Rifle. Tickets, information, and a promo video of the show by John McEwen himself can all be found at youththeater.com. And I'm assured that Colorado Christmas will be sung on stage. Well, joining Express Yourself today is Heather Hoeksema. Heather is an architect and author, but she calls herself a composer of sensory experience in multiple mediums and many genres. She is an observer, writer, and maker of music. Heather published a book last year called Singular Butterfly, Verse 3-3, and she visits Express Yourself today ahead of a reading and book signing next week, Thursday to be exact, at Explore Booksellers in Aspen. Heather Hoeksema, welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Luke.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
The Singular Butterfly. Now, is this the fabled butterfly that starts a hurricane that crosses the ocean and wreaks havoc?
It could. It very well could.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It can do the opposite, though, according to the theory. And so I kind of, in the book, I distinguish between the modern butterfly effect, which is the one that does induce chaos, and what I term the holistic butterfly effect, which is the inverse.
And how is that a real being, or is it a sort of metaphor?
Well, a lot of people consider it a metaphor, but when we look at how everything is connected across the molecular fabric, it can be seen it can be understood in a real way, I think. I mean, everything we do has cause and effect. And what's amazing to me about the butterfly is it's one of the most humble creatures in nature, but it actually has the most amazing effect, specifically in nature and within the architecture of nature. It induces biodiversity more than perhaps any other creature, in that the architecture of its wings allows it to fly because of its lightweight wings. It's this flying insect that can fly across continents. So I think in some respects it's a metaphor, but not really, because it actually can carry pollen from one field of flowers all the way across a continent to another field of flowers. So when our flowers are stimulated with this foundation of biodiversity, that means our fruit is. When our fruit is, that means our food is. And that means that everything stays in balance a lot more. So I think that's where the metaphor actually becomes possibly more real than anything around the planet.
Well, I always appreciated butterflies for their incredible strength, for such a tiny little creature to travel thousands of miles, being buffeted by storms and wind and tornadoes and hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And their wings, the way that they're structured with this kind of balance of flexibility and balance of strength, their energy efficiency is fascinating. And it's really something for us to understand on multiple levels, even down to like the crystalline structure of the protein molecules in their wings. Their wings interpret color in two very different ways. One from the structure of the microtubules that are actually breathing tubules, which create the infrastructure of their wings, which are flexible and round. And then the wings also, the tiny, tiny scales on their wings interpret color by way of a pigment. So, I mean,
is that why butterflies are so colorful?
That's why they're so colorful, yeah.
Huh.
I mean,
interesting.
But they're colorful for a lot of reasons too. They need to blend with nature. Nature gave them the magic of mimicry, because they're sensitive. They aren't killers. They have to protect themselves. So.
Well, they also have in their favor the magic of transformation.
Yeah. Translation.
Do you call it translation?
I do. I'm careful as an architect. I've always been careful about using the word form. And the word transformation is a very common kind of word that people use right now. But and it's used a lot in describing the metamorphosis of the butterfly. I use the word translation partially because a lot of my work is about linguistics and communication and understanding. And I think that there's an inherent flexibility in that word. And I actually, in the book, I distinguish between the word form and the word shape. Form is more of a fixed thing, and in the world of civilization and human architecture, we use form to really describe those things that are permanent. And the way that the butterfly moves is almost the antithesis of that. They're constantly moving in this flexible kind of, their wings move in this amazing figure eight shape, and it's continuous and fluid, which is their gift. And so I use shape to describe their wings and to describe things. It's a minor difference, but to me it's kind of everything. So translation then becomes my linguistic, I'm going down a wormhole right now, but it becomes like my linguistic substitute for, okay.
Well, I sense a lot of wormholes in your book. I mean that as a compliment.
Okay,
it's,
thank you.
No, it's dense. I haven't gotten very far into mm-hmm. it yet, maybe just a third of the way, but I did discover enough to read enough to discover that you talk a lot about, at least in the early part that I've seen, mm-hmm. In relation to butterfly flight, mm-hmm. fluid dynamics. And mm-hmm. it sort of seemed like the contention was, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the butterfly is uniquely placed or evolved maybe to practice those fluid dynamics in a way that rebuilds the ecosystem. It gets kind of esoteric, but is that fair? Is that what you're talking
about? It's esoteric, but is it that simple even too? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, and we just ignore it and have ignored it as humans for centuries when it's the most obvious lesson we can learn in so many ways, you know?
Huh.
Just kind of look at everything around us. I think humans, civilization has been defined by way of humans distinguishing them from nature as almost some delusional pride or something. And
Western world.
Yeah,
I don't
Western
know if you can
world.
Say that about indigenous or
right, right.
a lot of Eastern cultures.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that sort of your point?
Yeah, uh-huh. it is. I mean, I was born in Phoenix in a Native American hospital, and when I was a baby, had a Native American caregivers, and I always feel like somehow, maybe in some magical way, when they were singing their daily ritual songs to me while they were holding me, that they like showed me what natural love was, and now I can't.
Oh,
now I'm kind of like lost in the modern world because being this like Caucasian woman running around pretending to be an architect of civilization, it never really made sense to me. And now I'm wondering maybe that's the reason.
is that why you picked up your guitar?
It is, yeah. And then I kept picking it up, and I kept picking it up more and more. And then I started, you know, tuning it to the 432 hertz, which I discovered.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
So I discovered in my research there are certain relationships between natural harmonics and the human body, and how the human body can harmonize naturally. And there's reasonable evidence that suggests that the solfeggio frequencies and maybe even the decreased harmonics of 432 hertz aligning with the A note versus the 440, which is the Western modern standard, that the 432 hertz actually aligns with our body's frequencies. And there, I did a lot of research on it to be convinced enough, but I think that the ultimate convincing thing was that when I tuned my guitar to that, even though the frets get in the way a little bit, it's easier to play aligned with those harmonics like on a violin where there aren't frets, but I just, every time I had, like, I was nervous about something or worried, I'd pick up my guitar and I'd be singing, and the vibration of the body of the guitar against my body just made me feel better.
Huh.
So to me, that was my most convincing research. But the math is out there, and it's actually pretty strong math.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to deny, the hard to deny math kind of thing, you know. That relates to the energy centers, you know, that the Hopi Indians and the South India Indians also, you know, studied in relationship to natural harmonics, and the ancients understood, and then, you know.
Well, this visit you were here last fall and you're on your way to Telluride and then Sundance after this weekend, right?
Yeah.
And I know that you had a couple of gigs back then and you have your guitar with you. Mm-hmm. But before we get to the music, I'd like to ask you what people will hear and see when they come to you at Explore Booksellers on Thursday.
Well, we'll have the book there. And if enough people kind of settle in for long enough, I'll probably do a short reading from the book. There's a children's narrative threaded throughout the dense analytical writing. And that's so parents and children can kind of understand it together. And the narrative relates to the science and philosophy in the writing. This first book is part of a series called Singular Architecture, which I mentioned, and it's the first of 64 of these small books. And part of the reason this is so dense is because it includes kind of the umbrella concepts. So I have the narrative that's going to be threading through there, and I might do some reading from that if people settle in. And then we also have, there's going to be maybe a little sneak peek of this new book that I just published called Flashlight, 9 Girls' Stories for Grown-Ups. And it's basically a series of 9 short stories, and I'm kind of more officially launching that during the week of Sundance up in Park City.
Oh, okay.
But they'll have a couple of copies on hand, and then it'll be available for order there as well. So, because I just had a handful of them printed out while I was down in Santa Fe a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, it'll be casual, but I might play, maybe I'll bring my guitar and play a little music there too. That always kind of makes it a little more fun.
Speaking of which, let's hear a couple tunes before I have to let you go.
All right, cool.
If you just joined us, we have Heather Hoeksema live in the studios here at KD&K.
So this first song is called The Road Show, and it's RODESHOW. Kind of my little getting over past experiences, maybe. But it's also the title of the album that I'm in the process of producing, too. One in the morning came without warning. He snuck into my room, he started swarming. 2 o'clock came around, he didn't make a sound. I asked you if you felt as your feet touch the ground, and I said, hey, thought you loved me, that's okay. Ain't that the way these things go anyway? Another hour came and then you went. We talked of our fears, Jesus, we were so spent. 4 o'clock came alive in the beehive. The apostles took notes on your wheels, you would drive your way home. All I wanna know now, which way to go? Did you take it fast or slow? All I wanna know now, did you make it home? Did you drive too fast or go slow? Clock shined 5 as the show went live. You knocked at my door, what excuse you derived? I don't wanna know, cause you're home now. All I wanna know, did you like it fast or slow? You're home now, let's skip the road show. Sun's coming up, I hear the wind start to blow. All I wanna know, do you love me? Did you like it fast? Did you like it slow? All I wanna know.
house was warming. Be calm, swarming. Just past six, sky clouds dark started storming. 6:10:07, the darkness parted toward heaven. The apostles had gone and your engine revving. And I said, hey, you love me. Should we take it fast? Should we take it slow? I don't wanna know. Figure eights round, round, there was silence and sound. These children we lay in our love we had drowned. I wanna know, do you love me? Do you love me? More than the road show.
Heather Hoeksema, live at Katie and Kay. Do you have a CD? Have you produced any CDs?
I did the demos, and they're just, every time I listen to them and re-record, they get better. So I'm in another wormhole.
Interesting. Well, we have time for another tune if you would play one for us.
Okay.
Thank
this
you.
Is that was the first one that I wrote for this album, and this is the most recent one. This is a little more rough around the edges. We'll see how I do. Oh, this is called Pole Position.
Pole Position.
Pole Position. It's kind of, there's some role reversal going on between the voyeur and the dancer. Pole position to your one-way vision. Three, blind ambition on your fast-track mission. Taking them out with every quick decision. Sure was nice to meet you. Front row seat, tasty and sweet. Switch right, left, 10 times, repeat. Fantastic, static rush to retreat. Can you please repeat ya? Pole position, grant you vision to my indecision. Heavy load, wheels almost slowed. I think you're gonna implode. Exploitation of your Morse code. Dig that sound, you beat ya. Soul revision, thick steak and out. Your next acquisition. Boarding on the cruise ship. Secrets always best kept. Titching for a true trip. Sure was nice to cheat ya.
in the cracks of your deepest vision. Better wash the bait. Cut off the head, it's time to skate. Sure was nice to eat ya.
Heather Hoeksema, live at KDNK. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Heather's website, singulararchitecture.com?
Yes.
Or is it .org? .com.
That one's .com, yeah.
And
the CD, I actually have the CD available for pre-purchase on that, too, along with the books.
Oh, okay.
Both books. And yeah, but buy them at Explore. Don't buy them there.
And at Explore, what next Thursday, what time is your reading?
5:30.
Mm-hmm. Thursday the 4th.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by and telling us all about it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Stay with us. There is more to come on today's Express Yourself. Some gypsy jazz for you. That's what you hear tonight at Steve's Guitars, courtesy of Lookout Mountain Showdown. And that was performed live here at KDNK about 8 months ago. So Lookout Mountain Showdown tonight over at Steve's Guitars. Well, the only live music in the valley on New Year's Eve that is not already sold out, and the only live music down valley, is the Tanqueray's at Carbondale Beer Works on Sunday night. The Tanqueray's are based in Grand Junction, but they have played in the Valley many times. Their newest appearance coincides with the release of their new CD, I guess actually called an EP. And with us on today's show are the band members, the Tanqueray's. Please welcome Michael Thornburg. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to Katie and Katie.
Thank you.
Singer and guitarist Brian Mora is here too.
Hello, thank you.
And the lovely bass player Lester is here. Hi, Lester.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah. So a new CD, that's always exciting.
It is.
So is this New Year's Eve gig an official CD release party?
Pretty much here for the Valley, yeah. This CD just came out the 25th of December, and so this whole week the next 2 weeks we're going to be doing nothing but traveling and playing music with this.
Yeah, you've got some gigs in Southern California coming up.
Yeah, we've got a Friday night in Riverside, California at Mission Tobacco Lounge, Saturday at the world famous Doll Hut in Anaheim, and then Sunday we're playing a show at the Redwood in downtown LA.
Downtown. So
yeah.
Anaheim, Riverside, Anaheim, downtown.
In LA, yeah.
The Doll Hut. It seems like I've heard of the Doll Hut. Tell me about the Doll Hut.
This will be our second time there. We actually played there earlier in the year. And I think that was kind of like a Tuesday night interview. And they invited us back, and we're going to do an official CD release party there. This is place, I think, it's been around since the 60s. It's a Southern Cal, SoCal punk club. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Stray Cats, Reverend Horton Heat, Sublime, you name it, everybody's played there. And they just cater to, you don't have to be a celebrity, you just have to be a band that likes to play music and do live music, and they'll bring you in, and they do live music 7 days a week.
How about that?
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you get a little break from winter.
Yes.
How long are you down there for?
It's going to be about 5 nights we're going to be out in L.A.
Nice.
So,
well, let's talk about the new one. Are you excited about it?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's probably the best one we've ever done. I feel like we progress each time. And I feel like this is the best one we've ever done. I don't know. Let's ask the bass player over here, Lester.
It's got new ideas on there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they yours?
Some.
Yeah? So do you all co-write the songs, all three of you?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. One of us comes up with an idea, and then we just keep adding, and whoever comes up with the idea, everybody adds their part. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. That's about how we... Sometimes I play a little guitar myself, too, and I'll come up with something I think is cool, and I'll present it to Brian or something, and he'll either take it or not, and we'll run with it or something, or maybe I'll have a funny lyrical idea or something like that, and that'll strike something for us to get going.
So you have, seven songs on this EP? Yep. Did you test them out all on stage before you recorded them?
We have been playing little bits here and there, and so far they've all gotten good reviews. So people seem, if you come to a Tanqueray show, it's all about just having a good time. We really don't get into politics too much. We don't get into... this is just kind of tongue-in-cheek, humorous, fun stuff. Some of the songs are based off Pulp Fiction, kind of that Pulp Fiction novel. It's just fun to us, we want to have a good time with this.
Well, I heard that there's a pin-up boy and pin-up girl contest on New Year's Eve at the Beer Works.
So
it sounds like it's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. We Rhonda R2 Roberts, I don't know if you guys are familiar
with
Rhonda.
Of course.
She used to live over here.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hi, Rhonda.
She's been a good friend of ours for a long time and has helped us with numerous shows, and she's actually been helping us a lot with L.A. shows.
Oh.
And because she's living out there now. And so whenever we do shows with Rhonda, it's always going to be including pinups, which we love. We love the pinup girls. And I think there's like a $50 gift card that they're giving away, and sign up at 9 p.m.
Well, it's not too often that a pinup show comes to town. So you kind of have to go, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I think the last time somebody did that in town for benefiting roller derby girls.
Yes.
There was a roller derby club in the valley.
Dee, I think, was part of that. And
did you play for the roller derby?
I think we did.
Did you really?
I think we've done.
Oh, that gives you instant cred, dude.
Yeah. It seems like the Tanqueray's go with pin-up, hot rods, alcohol, of course, and roller derby.
So some people have described you as psychobilly. Is that pretty much what you're doing, kind of mixing punk and rockabilly?
That's it.
Uh-huh.
I would say punk, rock and roll, rock. I think in our minds, we would probably think rock and roll. But of course, when everybody hears you, they add their things. And it always consistently comes up to just, rock and roll or psychobilly.
I try to make each song a little bit different than the other so that they don't sound the same. So one song can be classified maybe as this, and the other can be classified as something else.
Huh. How do you accomplish that as a bass player, Lester?
I just try to be diverse. I try to explore new ideas. Right now I am enrolled at the university for music school. I try to get ideas from my instructors, or I'll ask my instructor, look, hey, I got this idea. Can you help me, build on it? And so forth.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I get ideas from my instructor over at Colorado Mesa University.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's listen to a track from the brand new CD. Here's the title track.
Yes.
Aztec Death Whistle. Let's check it out. The Tanqueray's.
Thank you.
That's the Tanqueray's from their brand new CD, the title track. Sounding good.
Thank you very
nice
much.
Nice instrumental piece. Are they all instrumentals? No.
No, that's the only one.
Oh.
We do try, though, to do at least one or two instrumentals per CD because, I mean, we could probably pull off a whole set of just instrumentals, but they would only be like 2 or 3 minutes long.
If that. But
I don't know. And you guys can elaborate. For me, Rush was a big influence, and I always liked a band that could do music without lyrics. And we kind of are all Rush fans, and we kind of like, man, let's do some instrumentals. And so it seems like we've always pulled one or two out.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about the genres or whatever, what we're actually kind of classified as. To me, it's just our own personalities coming out with the influences we grew up with. You know, like you said, Rush. One of my big influences growing up, too, my dad was a drummer, so he turned me on to Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa and all of them. So I always had that love for that swing, bebop kind of music. So I try to throw a little bit of that here and there when I can. And I also, when it came to my teenage years, I loved the death metal stuff. So Slayer was a big thing, and he had some of the smoothest double bass riffs ever. So I try to throw that in there whenever I can, too.
Huh. Well, drumming, like I just heard on that, is a lot different than bebop drumming. So what is it about bebop drumming that you still have kept with you?
I like to do a dot of these figures or more of a swing. There's a couple songs on that CD you'll see that have that swing to it, too. With this CD, though, we were expanding out a little bit, trying to get more into modern sounding stuff like White Stripes, for instance, is some more of the modern influences that we like nowadays.
I'd still keep that classic surf, spooky surf sound. One of my big influences has always been the surf music, and so, and interesting on this CD, to put a plug in for our friend Dave Klein, we played a show where we opened up for Asian Orange, and we actually played a Ghastly Ones cover. And this guy came up to us, and he was a drummer for Asian Orange, and he goes, "Hey, I heard you guys played the Ghastly Ones." And we go, "Yeah, we love that band." And he goes, "Well, that was my band." And we're like, "Really? God." I'm like, "Geez, I hope you're not mad that we played it." And he said, "No, you guys did a great version. You can play anything you want." And then we ended up doing another show where we played with Asian Orange, and he knew that we were doing this EP, and he goes, "Hey, if you want, we'll put some keyboards to it." And so he pulled out his keyboard from when he was with the Ghastly Ones and the Bomberos, and he put keyboards on 3 of the tracks on this album.
Man. Oh, that's cool.
So it was like a total homage to him for doing that, and kind of felt good that he believed enough in it that he wanted to put his style on there.
So did he come to Grand Junction to record that with you, or
no?
You were emailing tracks back and forth.
Everything is so different these days, man. We just emailed him the tracks from our studio guy, and he added his stuff and sent it back. And we went, "Wow, we like that. We don't like that." And then by the end, I think 2 weeks, everything was done.
So did you record at home?
We record with a guy. Got to give a plug for Taylor Riley. He's also the drummer for Jack and Jill, but he has his own record studio, and he's actually done three CDs of ours now, and I can't remember what I think it's Fusion Audio Solutions. Fusion Audio Solutions.
He's also with Waiting for Eternity. He plays drums for them, too.
Oh, yeah. He plays drums in a couple bands.
Right.
But he's also a great recording guy and a great studio engineer, and he just seems to know our sound and knows how to pick things out and go, "I think you should do this." We're like, "You know, that sounds good."
So he was your producer, basically.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, and it's good to, we do so many CDs with somebody, they kind of know what you guys are like, and then we say, "Well, this is what we're looking for this time." And hopefully, I mean, this will be something a little different than what most people have heard, but there's still that little Tanqueray's thread through there where you'll know it's the Tanqueray's.
Yeah. How many CDs have you made?
Four now. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I think it was 5 if you want to count.
Yeah, 5.
Are You In? Yeah.
Yeah, Are You In? That was the first one we did. And then there's the Big Whiskey The Tape Music Group down in Oklahoma. And then background music for Bar Fights, Death to Despair, And now this one. Yeah, background music for bar fights. That was the last one. Lester came up with that. Lester, also the bass player, came up with the title for Aztec Death Whistle.
Wow. So you have a talent for that. Yeah. As well as a talent for nicknames. I've never heard of Spooky Cupcake. I'll bet there's a story behind that. Tell me.
Actually, Lester doesn't want to say it, but I'm going to tattle on her. We did a show at the Oriental Theater in Denver with the Red Elvises, and we were just hanging out, getting some beers before we had to go on. And we went, and the bartender said, "What do you want to drink?" And, and then Lester came up, and she goes, "Okay, Spooky Cupcake, what do you want to drink?" And we're like, "Man, that's a cool freaking name." And and it stuck with
her. That's cool. Okay. You can say frickin'.
Okay, good. It stuck with her. So many other ways it could go.
I know, it's true. So you have a trained mouth. You know.
I got to watch it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow, yeah, what a great
name. As well as musicians, we're parents, too. So.
Well, yeah. You two are.
Yeah.
Well, you're a parent to a cat, so.
To eight cats now.
Yeah. Eight cats.
Yes. Lester's our cat lady bass player.
Huh. Yeah, you look like you'd probably
old
be a
crazy cat lady.
Yeah, how about that? Well, let's play another tune. You guys recommended Monkey on My Back. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, let's check it out. Monkey on My Back by the Tanqueray's from their new CD, Aztec Death Whistle. Tanqueray's playing New Year's Eve at Carbondale Beer Works.
All by myself.
That's the Tanqueray's from their brand new CD, Aztec. I almost said Aztec Death. Aztec Death Whistle. There we go.
Yep.
Sounding good. I really like that surf sounding part at the end.
Yeah, I would, you know, talking about influence, one of the biggest influences always has been for me, one of my favorite bands, just because it's one of my favorite bands listen to, is the Cramps. And so whenever I feel like I'm writing a song, or it's like I feel like in my head I'm always got like Lux Interior, Poison Ivy in the background giving me little riffs here or there or whatever in my imagination. But I think that's the part that I always kind of want to keep true to the Tanqueray's is the Cramps had their own sound. You could tell it was them. They would try different things, but they had their own sound. And that's what I love about bands that do that.
Cool. Well, the Tanqueray is playing New Year's Eve over at Carbondale Beer Works.
Yeah.
And it's the only game in town as far as live music goes. So that should be good. You can check out Tanqueray's. That's TanQueray.com. The CD's for sale there on the website.
Yeah, you can go to the website. You can go to Amazon. You can
come to the show on
Spotify,
New Year's and get one in person.
iTunes, yeah. And if you come to the show Sunday night, we'll put autographs on it and sign it.
And you'll get to hear the songs live.
Which we always try and play things a little bit different live than what it is on the studio. So you get an extra treat.
That's great. Well, guys, thanks for dropping by and saying hello. I know you came up from Grand Junction just for this.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I really appreciate you coming
in.
Very much. All right. Well, stay with us. We've got the news coming right up. And, of course, as always, go out there and express yourself.